This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, our Creator, Sustainer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send our greetings, our salutations, our peace to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his family, his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this waqt of Jumu'ah, to forgive us for the sins that we have done in this last week, to guide us in the week to come, and to Allah, that Allah grant us to be of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, we continue our discussion on the series of Tawheed, the most important aspect of our deen, the most fundamental area of Islam. That which makes us a Muslim is this concept of Tawheed. We spoke about the veneration of saints and the forms of shirk in ibadah. And we spoke about the ways in which mankind fall into shirk without knowing. And many a time, and you know, when I started the series, usually I ask the brothers and the committee, we're completing a series now, what new series should we do? And people give suggestions. When I said, let's do a series on Tawheed, people are like, good, alhamdulillah, but it's as if though nothing new. We've heard this again. But now that we're going into the series, people are surprised at how close shirk is. We believe that, you know, I'll never fall into shirk. Let's talk about things that are relevant. Shirk isn't relevant to me. Yet when we look at the detail, we find that it's so relevant to us. And that is why the Anbiya stress this over and over, that Nabi Ibrahim makes dua, Ya Allah, keep me safe from committing shirk. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to his Sahaba, I'm more afraid for you, my Sahaba, of falling into shirk than Dajjal. That this is this thing I have come to correct. And why we should talk about it, why Allah speaks about it over and over in the Quran. It is the most repeated aspect of the Quran. And if you go through the Quran, and inshallah we should do this regularly, but if you go through the Quran, you'd find the very first commandment from the beginning. If you read from Surah Baqarah, the very first commandment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O insan, fa'abudullah, worship Allah. And this concept repeats over and over, the concept of worshipping Allah and falling into incorrect worship. So we spoke about one of the avenues of shirk is the veneration of saints. And then we spoke about the second concept of tawassul. We said this concept of tawassul is a means in which people use an intermediary to get closer to Allah. And we said that this concept of tawassul is found within Islam. That there are permissible forms of tawassul and there are impermissible forms of tawassul. There are tawassuls which will take you closer to Allah, and there are ways of doing tawassul that will result in shirk wa yadu billah and deny you entry into Jannah for eternity, subhanAllah. So this, you understand the danger of tawassul. On the one side, it makes you closer to Allah. On the other side, it's shirk and kufr. So it's a very dangerous aspect of the deen. The door of tawassul is very dangerous. You don't know which way you're going to go. And if you make an error in tawassul, it's a big problem. If we make an error in terms of other aspects of the deen, if we make an error in terms of clothing, or an error in terms of our food we eat, it's bad, but it's not major, it's not fundamental. You make an error in tawassul, it can result in shirk. You understand the danger when we talk about tawassul. We spoke about the aspects of tawassul that are permissible. So there are types of tawassul which we know are confirmed in the Quran. Now already, from the basis of Islam, the basis of the Quran, we should already have an inbuilt, I would say, an inbuilt aversion to tawassul. We should say that the standard process of Islam is that I ask Allah directly. This is what comes in the Quran over and over. The inni qareeb, I am near, ask me, call me on my names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't put an intermediary between me and you. This is the standard default of Islam, you understand that? Therefore, anything that puts an intermediary, we need evidence for that. And we said some of the things which we know from the Quran and the Sunnah, which is permissible, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and take a means to get near to Him, amongst those things is to ask others to make dua for you. You can ask the Imam to make dua for you. You can ask your mother to make dua for you. And the Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ when he was alive, let him make dua for us. So we know that this is permissible. And there's no debate or dispute amongst the scholars in this regard. The issue is, can I ask a person after he has died to make dua for me? And this is the debate. This is where we find within our community a split. We'll find scholars who say yes, we'll find scholars who say no. Some will say that if you make tawassul through the dead, you ask the dead to make dua for you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your dua. And if you don't ask through the dead, your dua is not really going to be accepted. Another group will say, if you ask the dead to make dua for you, not only is it haram, but this is shirk. That you're going to go to Jahannam forever for making that dua. As I said, this series is not to condemn any group or to favor any group, but it is for you and me to analyze our ibadah. To sit down with yourself and say on Qiyamah, am I prepared? Do I feel confident where I am with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I prepared that my ibadah is safe and sound? So we said the most contentious issue in this debate is, can I ask somebody who has passed away to make dua for me? And can I ask an absent person? So let me give you the picture of tawassul. The person says, I can't approach Allah directly. But my dua is, if I ask Allah, He might accept it, He might not accept it. But if the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua for me, chances are it will be accepted. If the pious person makes dua for me, because Allah loves him so much, that his du'as will be accepted and not mine. And we said the pious person and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can make dua for you when they are alive. Now there comes this question, can I ask the pious person at a distance? And can I ask a dead person to make dua for me? Many of you look at me strange. What do I mean by a pious person at a distance? If it's the first time you're hearing of it, alhamdulillah, then don't worry about it, don't change. But there are some people that will say, my sheikh, he lives in Indonesia, or he lives in Makkah. And when I'm in difficulty, I can either phone him and say, make dua for me, and that's not a problem. Or I can mentally ask him, oh Muhammad, make dua for me. Oh Sheikh Ibrahim, make dua for me in Makkah. And there are some people who do this. Is this permissible? Why this is not permissible? And it's not permissible because, number one, very clearly, the Sahaba, when they were in a difficulty, when the Nabi was not there, Sahaba sometimes they went on a journey and they had an issue. They didn't telepathically connect with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They said, we need to wait to go to Medina to ask him. Many hadith like this. The hadith where they disputed as to where we should make asr or not. Hadith about, we spoke about this hunting of zebra a few weeks ago in Hudaybiyah, whether you're allowed to eat zebra meat. This thing, the Sahaba did the hunting. Can we eat meat during Ihram? They said, we have to wait to get to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to ask him the situation. If any person had the piety to connect to another person who is absent, this would be Sahaba connecting to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This Wi-Fi connection doesn't exist. Alright? So tawassul at a distance is not permissible. You are more than welcome to pick up the phone and ask your sheikh, make dua for me. You can do that. Permissible. But the minute you start saying, and I know of someone personally who told me, he's been advised by a sheikh, whenever he goes through difficulty, visualize the sheikh in your mind, tell him what you need, he will be informed and in touch, and he'll make dua for you. And this, subhanAllah, you're ascribing the ability of all hearing and all seeing and all knowledge to a human being, which even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not have. He did not have this kind of connection with any of his Sahaba. Secondly, if you had a sheikh which you go to continuously in times of need, when you are hungry, when you are sick, when you are in need, you ask the sheikh, when are you asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is why tawassul, it is permissible but can become haram. It is permissible to ask your living sheikh to make dua for you in his presence. But the minute you start depending on the sheikh and not Allah, you have fallen into shirk. What's the difference? Outwardly it's the same. I ask, sheikh, I have an exam, make dua for me, mommy make dua for me, I'm going to make dua for me. Permissible, alhamdulillah. Now I'm sick, I go to the sheikh. Because my du'as was answered when my exams were difficult, I passed. Must be the sheikh's dua. So now every time I go to the sheikh, eventually I depend on the sheikh, and I forgot to ask Allah. Now you've made, remember, tawassul is to link you to Allah. The minute that person becomes the destination, Allah is forgotten. And this is the essence of shirk. Allah says in Surah Zumar, when you ask the people of the Quraysh, what are these things you are asking, these idols?
You say, no, لِيُقَرِّبُ اللَّهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. These things only take us to Allah. I said this many times. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab believed in Allah, and in fact they called him Allah. He is the creator, and he has all power. But the idols is a shortcut to Allah. These are pious people, and the image of them, so we ask them, ask Allah. And eventually with time, they just said, ask the idol. He has barakah, he has power, he has blessing. Easily that this tawassul can become shirk. And we said, therefore, the minute you start depending on the means, you start depending on the person to make dua for you, and not Allah, then you have made a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is quite easy. Asking a person that is absent is not permissible. Now how much more, and I'm going to apply this now to our next discussion, asking a dead person who is absent. You find, and this is more common, someone will say, I'm asking Abdul Qadir Jilani or Imam Hussein to help me. But I'm in Cape Town. Allah alone knows where Abdul Qadir Jilani is, but his grave is in Iraq, and Imam Hussein's grave is in Iraq. Let's leave the question about asking the dead. Physically, he's not present. Unless you're saying that the arwah is all over, that the soul of Abdul Qadir Jilani is in Cape Town, and he's in America, and he's in China, anyone who asks you to make dua, he will. Not possible. When he was alive, you couldn't ask him when he was in China and in South Africa. How is it when he's dead that you're asking him? Understand this concept now. Tawassul at a distance, if it's not okay for a living person, even more so for a dead person, who's already in a barzakh, in a world that is not linked to our world. So now let's talk about the more controversial aspect. And again, the picture that is given, I cannot go to Allah directly. So I ask someone pious to make dua for me. Now that pious person has died, why can't I ask him when he's dead to continue making dua for me? I'm not asking him to heal me. I'm not asking him to forgive me. I'm asking him to ask Allah. How can this be shirk? You understand, this is the question. Is this permissible or not? We said, everyone agrees, if that man is the person that you are asking for forgiveness, it is shirk. Everyone agrees on that. Even those who are frequent the graves and frequent and asks the awliya, they will also say, if you believe that this man forgives you and heals you, it's shirk akbar. And that's just something in the heart. It's dangerous. It's just a belief aspect here. But they will say, you can ask him to make dua. Now, the rules of tawassul, and Allah gives these rules in the Quran when Allah says that who has intercession illa bi idni, man alladhi yashfa illa bi idni, who has the permission to intercede with Allah except through His permission. There are certain reasons or certain evidences you need to prove that this thing connects you to Allah. I cannot say, mashallah, I'm making tawassul through this mimbar here. Do you know how many imams stood on this mimbar and made khutbah? It's a mubarak mimbar. If I make dua on it, it's going to be accepted. No, akhi, you need to bring evidence for that. You need to bring evidence that this thing connects you to Allah. So it is a couple of questions we need to ask ourselves with regards to tawassul through the dead. Number one, can the dead even hear us? If I'm at the grave of the Prophet ﷺ and I say, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, make dua for me. Can he even hear? Is he aware of my request? Can he understand my request? Because I'm asking him in English. And if he can hear, and he can understand, does he have the ability to respond? So I ask, you know, my granny was a pious person. She made dua for me when she was alive. Now she passed away. I still wanted to make dua for me. So even though she wants to make dua for me, she can hear me, Muhammad needs my duas. I want to make dua for him. Can she make dua in the qabr? Can she make ibadah in the qabr? And if they can, and these are all the things we need to prove, they have the ability to respond and to hear, will they do it? Will Abdul Qadir Jilani help you? Why would he help you? Would he help you? And then lastly, even if the person can hear and has the ability and will help you, is it permissible for that? And we'll go through these questions in more detail. So the first issue, and this is a contentious issue, although it shouldn't be a contentious issue on itself, there's two views that are acceptable. Can the dead hear? Are the dead able to hear the living? Both views are permissible in this context, but we'll talk about it in detail. First opinion, yes, the dead can hear us. And the evidence for that from the Quran, and say not of those who are killed in the way of Allah that they are dead, they are alive, but you perceive not. They are alive, and we know the arwah move from this life to the next. that death is like birth. In the womb you lived in a certain format, you were born into a new world. When you die, you enter into a new world. You are still alive. So we know that they are not, they have not disappeared. They are alive. But that's not a very conclusive evidence for hearing. The second one, second evidence, this is more conclusive, at the Battle of Badr, after Abu Jahl and Umayyah and all of them had been killed, the Prophet ﷺ had them thrown in a well, 70 of the Quraysh. And then the Nabi ﷺ spoke to them, the dead bodies, and said, "O Quraysh, have you found what Allah promised you to be true? Because we found what Allah promised us was true. Did you find what Allah promised you to be true?" Then Sayyidina Umar said, "Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, are you talking to dead people? They can't hear you. Why are you talking to them?" So he said, Nabi ﷺ said, "You are not any better at hearing me than them. That they hear you, just they hear me as you are hearing me." Alright, so this is the second evidence that those who say the dead can hear, they use this incident. Number three, the hadith that the Prophet, when the person who's been buried, he hears the footsteps of those burying him. And one by one he will hear his family leaving him. Not him, you and me. We will be buried a day. And we will be aware of our kids and our friends leaving our qabr. And we, until the last person leaves and we are alone in the grave, we will hear that we are alone. And that's when the angels of the questioning will come. Allah protect us. Allah protect us. Imagine that feeling. Hearing people leave you one by one. And you know when the last guy leaves, halas, now the questions are going to start. So this hadith is confirmed, it's in Bukhari. And of course the natural thing, we go to the cemetery, there's a dua to make where we greet the Ahlul Qubur. Assalamu alaikum, ya Ahlul Qubur, we greet them. Why would we greet them if they can't hear? So these are evidences to say that they can hear. That's view number one. View number two says, no, the dead can't hear. And they give ayat, and this was the view of Aisha radiallahu anha. This debate goes back to Sahaba. Sahaba had this different views, right? So not scholars, even Sahaba differed. So Aisha, of the opinion that the dead cannot hear, and she gives evidences why, from the Quran. She says in the Quran, Allah says, "So verily you, O Muhammad, cannot make the dead to hear." The dead cannot hear. "And not equal are the living and the dead. Indeed, Allah causes to hear whom He wills, but you cannot make to hear those in their graves." Those in the graves are not able to hear. It's very explicit from the Quran. And they go further to refute the evidences of the first group. They say that the Prophet ﷺ's events at Badr was unique. That's why Sayyidina Umar said, "How can you speak to them? This is not normal. You never spoke to dead people before." So intuitively from this, you'll say the norm is they shouldn't hear. But this was something specific as a punishment to Abu Jahl them. An extra punishment to say Allah made them to hear. As for the footsteps of the dead leaving, the dead can hear these footsteps. But beyond that, once they're in the qabr and they've gone into the realm of the barzakh, there's no evidence further that they can hear. And as for greeting the Ahlul Qubur, this is a dua. Assalamu alaikum is a dua. And sometimes we greet things that cannot hear us. The Prophet will greet Makkah, for example. And you greet the Kaaba. And you greet the Masjid. Masjid doesn't have ears. It's a form of dua. May Allah have peace and blessings on you, O Ahlul Qubur. So this is the response they give. As I said, this issue is not a controversial issue in on itself. If you view that the dead can hear you, permissible. And if you view the dead cannot hear you, permissible. So long as you understand these points. That no one says you can sit at the grave of your deceased relative and have a conversation. You can't sit there and say, "Daddy loved cricket, so I'm going to tell him the scores, I'm going to tell him how the kids are doing exam." That information will not reach the dead. No one says you can do this. As for asking them to make dua, had this been possible, Sahaba would have asked the Prophet ﷺ to make dua. The Prophet ﷺ would have been asked to make dua. In fact, a non-Muslim once debated a Muslim and said, "When Hussein was being massacred at Karbala, radiallahu an, why didn't he ask his grandfather Muhammad ﷺ to ask Allah to prevent it?" Now we say we know that this is between Imam Hussein and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even Nabi ﷺ cannot intervene in these matters. Because we cannot make dua to others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sahaba never asked the Prophet ﷺ for requests. And as for the salam, we know the hadith actually says, when you make salam on the Prophet ﷺ, the angels bring it to them. So yes, the dead are away, but sort of via an intermediary. When you make dua for your mother and your father, if they are passing, Allah grant them mercy, they feel the barakah and the blessing of that dua. When we send salam, it's a dua, they feel that they are aware of that. But they're not aware of everything that we say. So there's a limited capacity. As for the dead hearing, we said this is a disputed issue, but no one has ever sat and had a conversation at the grave. And that's point number one. So we can say equal here. Can the dead hear or not equal? Can they respond? So let's say they can here. I'm playing devil's advocate here. Let's say Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimullah, he can hear me when I go to his qabr. I say, "Ya Abdul Qadir Jilani, make dua for me." So he hears, I'm asking him the request. Can he understand my language? If it's not in his language, there's no evidence to say that Allah, you would then need to say Allah has given him knowledge of all languages. And no one has this except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person who couldn't speak Arabic came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked the request, Nabi sallallahu alaihi couldn't understand him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only spoke Arabic. But even if he could hear, could he make dua for you? Is anyone allowed to make dua in the qabr? Once you are dead, can you make salah? No. Can you fast? No. Can you make dua even for yourself? Leave alone your family members. If you are in the qabr and you can still make dua, khalas, then we would all make dua for forgiveness. Still qiyamah. Then all of us will be in Jannah. Even the kafir then would make dua and say, forgive me for my shirk. We know the hadith where the Prophet says, when a man dies, his deeds, his good actions come to an end except for three, the Sadaqatul Jariyah. He leaves some knowledge. He's left behind some descendants who make a sadaqah, like a masjid or a hospital, or his descendants who make dua for him. His descendants who make dua for him. So even if they can hear, and they can understand you, they can't do anything because they themselves, they need dua. It's hadith. And this is common sense. This hadith was not given to us. It was given to Sahaba. It was given to Abu Bakr. Ya Abu Bakr, when you die, khalas, your deeds come to an end. Your life is the only time you can make ibadah in your existence is from your life here on this dunya. After that, it's finished. You can't make dua for yourself or anybody else. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this beautiful ayah, إِن تَدْعُوهُمْ, if you ask them, لَا يَسْمَعُوا, they can't hear you. لَا يَسْمَعُوا دُعَاءَكُمْ, they can't hear your dua. وَلَوْ سَمِعُوا, and even if they could hear, مَسْتَجَابُوا لَكُمْ, they will not be able to answer you. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and the day of Qiyamah, يَكْفُرُونَ بِشِرْكِكُمْ, they would say, we have nothing to do with you on Qiyamah. Nabi Isa will say, I have nothing to do with those who committed shirk with you, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some questions to ponder. Why do people need to go to an intermediary? And the classic example would be, I'm so bad, I'm so sinful, Allah knows my sins. How can I go to Allah? My du'as are not being accepted. Wallahi, this is not an insult to anyone other than Allah. If He's Arhamar Rahimin, if He's the most merciful, the most kind, if He's the closest and the nearest to you, and He says, I will answer you, and my mercy is beyond my punishment, then to say that Allah puts a barrier between me and Him, that's an insult to Allah. And you have limited Allah's mercy. You have limited His power of forgiveness. And you've gone against those ayat that says, فَدَعُونِي, ask me, not even us. Usually Allah uses the plural, we. But here Allah makes it personal, ask me. إِنِّي قَرِيب, I am near to you. If you are so bad, consider this. You are so bad that أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ, the most merciful, won't hear your dua. Why would Abdul Qadir Jilani listen to your dua? Why would he help you? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Is he someone that he feels he's indebted to you? No. So people even ask intermediaries that they have no connection. You know, if you go to a job, they'll say, you want to get the job, you can't go ask the boss directly, but you have a connection there. Yes, you must have that connection. We don't even have that connection with the awliya. It was not the practice of Sahaba. And this should be the biggest example for you. If this was the case, Sahaba would do it. And again, I'm saying, people will bring arguments for and against. Remember the other side of the coin. If it's haram, it's shirk. It's very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. And the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us how to make salah. He taught us how to perform hajj. Is there any example that you can think of where he taught us to make tawassul through saints? No way. If this was such an important issue, he would have taught us, look, guys, part of your deen is you need to make tawassul regularly. You need to go to the graves of pious people and ask them. He never taught us that. How could he leave something like that unspoken about? Consider the next slide. Maybe we give an example that someone can hear your dua and he has the power to respond. He can make dua for you and he even has the power to help you. Not all of them is permissible. For example, the jinn. The jinn can hear us, they can see us. And if you ask them, they're able to help you. In fact, they can cure your disease and they can help you solve your problems. But we know asking them is shirk. Asking them is haram. Why is it haram? Because if you had terminal cancer and you went to the jinn and he healed you, and you have rizq problems and you went to the jinn and he brought you rizq, and you had an enemy and the jinn protected you, khalas, you have no need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You would go to the jinn every single day. Asking them, we know it's one of the 7 major sins, that to contact the jinn is kufr for assistance. The angels, we know the angels can. Yeah, Jibreel and the angels are here on our records. They hear us, they see us. And we know the angels even make dua for us. When we ask for someone, oh Allah, grant this person barakah, the angels make dua for you. But you cannot ask, oh Jibreel, ya Jibreel, you are with Allah. Ask Allah, send the request to Allah. Everyone agrees you can't do this. You cannot do this. And if it was permissible to ask a saint who is dead to make dua for you, then wallahi, the practice of the Christians is better. Because they are asking a living Nabi to make dua for them. Jesus, he's alive. And he's a Nabi. And he's greater than the greatest of saints. Then their ibadah would have been the best. Their tawassul would have been the best. You understand this argument here? You would have been even better to go to Nabi Isa than Prophet ﷺ, because Nabi Isa is alive. So this is a dangerous area, my brothers and sisters. And as for tawassul through the Prophet ﷺ, yes, it does increase your dua. And using the Nabi ﷺ as a means to get closer to Allah, permissible, and you have to use him. But how do you use him to get close to Allah? As Nabi ﷺ says in this hadith, when any of you prays, let him begin by praising Allah and let him send salawat on the Nabi ﷺ. Whenever you make dua, whenever you want to ask something, ask Allah, but in your dua say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad ﷺ. Oh Allah, grant salutations on Nabi ﷺ. You've made tawassul with the Nabi ﷺ. There you've come to Allah through the Nabi ﷺ. You've made tawassul with the Nabi ﷺ. And he says, let him pray for whatever, and then let him ask whatever he wants. So here Nabi ﷺ is teaching you the correct form of tawassul. Ask Allah and praise Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, send salawat on him, and khalas. The next hadith is even more clearly. Verily, supplication, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying in Tirmidhi, verily supplications, your dua is paused, stalled between the heavens and the earth. You make dua and it stops, it doesn't go to Allah. Why? What made it to stop? And are not lifted until supplication is made on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until you said, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina, until you made dua for the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So make tawassul with the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How? By sending salawat on him. Sending salawat on him. Don't ask Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not the method. He taught us, send salawat. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Allah and his angels send salawat on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you send salawat. And that is your tawassul. So yes, draw to Allah near through the pious people and through the anbiya and through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by sending salawat on them and by following their example. To summarize this issue of tawassul, we said we ask Allah directly. And it's permissible to use a permissible form of tawassul, so long as you don't put your dependency on the means. And you're allowed to go through the Prophet ﷺ to get to Allah. How? By making salawat on him. And that's it. That's it. You know, Jamaatul Muslimin, we'll talk about intercession next week. That Nabi ﷺ will intercede for us on Qiyamah. He will intercede for us on the day of Qiyamah. How do we get that intercession? By making dua, Allahumma rabbaha di da'wati tamma. We make dua to Allah after the adhan. If you look at the adhan, the dua of the adhan, you're asking for intercession. But you don't ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercede for me. You ask, oh Allah, let Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercede for me. This is a big difference. Oh Allah, you grant me intercession. Oh Allah, you grant me to make tawassul through Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's permissible. But the minute you ask, ya Rasulullah, intercede for me, now I've gone into a grey area, a dangerous area. an area of potential shirk. I said, this is not to blame anyone or any practice or any group. This is for us to use what has been given to us correctly. As Surah Kaf says, that there will come people, Allah says, should I not tell you who are the biggest losers on the day of Qiyamah? The one who spent his life in ibadah, thinking he's doing good, and he comes to Allah and he commits shirk. So he didn't even enjoy the dunya. At least the person who's given to shahwat and doing as he wants, he's at least having his jannah on earth. But you find people who are pious and they're worshipping, but because they're doing it incorrectly, they get to Allah with shirk and khalas, they go to Jahannam. Allah says these people are the biggest losers on Qiyamah, because they did not which Allah has commanded. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and protect us. May Allah keep us safe from shirk. May Allah keep us safe from shirk. Do we make dua for this? Ya Allah, let us die with tawheed in our heart. Ya Allah, let us stand in that queue of tawheed on Qiyamah. That whatever sins we have, Ya Allah, we have hope that you will forgive us. So don't let us meet you with shirk, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep us safe from any grey areas of tawheed, grey areas of shirk, and let us make dua and salah and ibadah for you sincerely, us and our family, Ya Allah. Those who love you, Ya Allah, keep us steadfast on tawheed. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam wa mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.